Welcome back to season two of the You Define podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Stoniak. In this space, we navigate our way through people's personal stories, told from their perspective, while honoring the people, places, and circumstances that have defined them. Thanks for being here, for staying a while. I have a bit of a cold, if you can't tell, but that isn't going to stop me from playing my part in telling this story. You push play on Andrew's story. It's a complex story. It's going to take you through both the common and the uncommon. Andrew tells his story with a bit of a thread of idols that run through it. You'll hear him identify idols he had as young as middle school all the way through current day. It's an interesting take on his story, and I think you're really going to enjoy listening to both the common and the more uncommon themes that run through his story. Andrew grew up in Omaha, Nebraska. He was the youngest of four kids. He grew up in a homeschooled, Jesus-loving home. Andrew would say he was a bit sheltered growing up, but in hindsight, he doesn't regret that. There's much to see in the world, and he's thankful that his parents were mindful when it came to exposure. He would have described himself as the wild child, the kiddo who got disciplined the most, kind of stirred up the most trouble. He had a bit of a rebellious spirit. Out of all of his siblings, he was definitely the kid who was eager to get out of the house and finally be able to do what he wanted to do. Despite growing up in a Christian home, Andrew would say he never really felt like he was saved. He didn't feel saved. This really consumed his thoughts. He was afraid that if he wasn't actually saved and he died, that he'd go to hell. Rewind just a little bit. Andrew gets to go to public school for high school, and this is really pivotal for him. He explains when things started to shift for him.
The first thing that kind of had me questioning God and questioning Christianity and all of that was really when I hit puberty and I started experiencing sexual urges and all that stuff, and feeling like there was no outlet for this that was sanctioned by the church except for marriage. And as a 13, 14 year old, I'm like, I can't get married. This is unfair. God is unfair. Why would you do this to me, God? Why would you create me like this, to where I have all these feelings and these urges and all these things are going on, but I can't do anything because everything basically is sin unless I'm married, and that's not happening for another, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10 years. So it was confusing. I was frustrated, and that was really what let doubt creep into my mind. I was like, maybe this God isn't as good as everyone says he is, you know, like maybe there's a flaw in his creation, which means there's a flaw in the creator. So that led to, I feel like that kind of just opened up the door, spiritually for the forces of evil, frankly, to come at me and get me. Pornography was, I would say, my first idol that I really got addicted to. And even, you know, even secular music, like that crept in, and that I didn't know it at the time, but it really did start influencing my thoughts. And just like the kinds of things that I would think about and would talk about. Going to high school, it was difficult, especially the first year, just not really knowing anybody and being this, you know, kind of introverted, you know, quiet, skinny homeschool kid who doesn't, you know. So ever since I started going to high school, I kind of had this feeling like I had to prove myself, and I had to, like, I had to become somebody to fit in. And so I really started lifting. I played football, but lifting was like, that was my thing. I loved it. I got really good at it. I started, you know, my body was changing, and I was like, this is awesome. Like, this is my thing, you know, and this is something I can be really successful at and that people will respect me. And you know, I'm like, I don't want to get bullied. So like, if I'm big, people, they're not going to bully me. And also I wanted to basically like get girls. Like that was, you know, that was the whole thing. It was, I was trying to build myself up to be like this alpha male. Like that was all throughout high school. That was a driving force for me, was just to become the guy, you know. I wanted to be the top dog.
High school came and went for Andrew. He had always been interested in joining the Marines post high school, but he would describe his time in the Marine Corps as yet another idol in his life.
It was something that I desired more than anything. And so that became a huge goal of mine. And I enlisted when I was 17, still in high school. And then my recruiter actually pushed me to go for the NROTC scholarship, which is the Naval Reserve Officer Training Corps. And I actually ended up getting it, and I decided to go to University of Nebraska Lincoln to basically begin officer training. And as I had some friends that had already enlisted, and so as I was in it, I just kind of felt like I'm pretending to be a Marine while actually being a college student, and it wasn't satisfying, and I was just like, I want to get out of Nebraska. And my parents were still kind of getting on to me because I wasn't going to church while I was in Lincoln. And they're, you know, they were questioning like, hey, what's going on? Like, you know, where are you at spiritually? And I was like, I don't even want to talk about this. I don't want to really talk to you about this. You know, I still loved my parents, but I was just like, please leave me alone. And also around this time, 18, 19 years old, I started getting into alcohol, started drinking a lot, because I was like, you know, this is fun. It feels good, and I had different friend groups that I was a part of. That was all we did, was we'd drink, and I definitely started abusing alcohol at that time, and it was another idol. Another thing where I was just like, man, like Christians don't want us to get drunk because they don't want us to have a good time. You know, partying's fun. You let loose, you get wild, and like it's fun. So, that was another big thing of the world that drew me away from Christianity and just made me apathetic towards it. Basically, at the end of the first semester in at Lincoln, I was on Christmas break and I was hanging out with some friends, and they brought out some weed, and I was like, yeah, let me smoke that. 2 days after that, I have to go back and there's a drug test. So I'm like, there's no way I'm going to pass. I already don't want to be in this program. I'm just kind of over it. So I'm going to drop out. So I dropped out of the program, dropped out of college. Definitely felt bad about it. Like, I didn't feel good that I did that, but it was kind of like, I was kind of just basically, I was like, I don't want to get in trouble for this, and I just want to like just put this all behind me. 4 or 5 months after that, in April, I went back to the recruiting station I had been going to, did a workout, got super motivated, and I was like, oorah, Marine Corps, let's go. Yeah. 2 months after that, in June, I enlisted. Obviously didn't ask my parents for permission because I was 19. I was like, hey, Mom, you probably already knew this, I was going to do something about this, but I joined the Marines. Obviously, my mom was definitely not exactly happy. My dad was kind of more just like, all right, you know, this is, at least you're going to do something with your life, you know, like this, do the best that you can. But Mom was just like, you know, doesn't want her son to go. She knows not only the danger that I could go to combat, but also just the lifestyle that Marines live. And she knows that she already knew that I was drifting away. So I think if anything, she was probably more worried about my soul than my body, but I was ready to get out of there. I was ready to get out of Nebraska. Ready to go see the world. So I shipped out in August of 2015 to San Diego. And that was the beginning of the Marine Corps part of my life. The Marines and being in California, being away from my family, it was, at the time, it was everything I wanted because there were no rules except for the Marine Corps rules. But on the weekends, there were no rules governing what I did with my time. You know, I knew that I couldn't do drugs because of drug tests, but alcohol, you know, whatever you want, living fast, and I wasn't worried if I died young. I just didn't care. I was living for the party. And definitely made a lot of mistakes, definitely did a lot of stupid things. Definitely hurt people, hurt myself. And I'd say the first 2 years or so of being in the Marines was probably the most alcohol crazed. And actually around the time I turned 21, I kind of got out of the friend group that I was in that partied a lot, because literally the main reason that I started weaning myself off alcohol was because I noticed that it wasn't good for my body. I was getting kind of pudgy in the face. I was like, I'm working out all the time, but I'm like looking kind of soft and not how I want to be. So I actually stopped drinking copious amounts of alcohol and only did it occasionally, but it was really just for my own ego, my own pride, because I wanted to be more muscular and all that stuff.
Andrew had been doing really well in the Marine Corps, advancing ahead of schedule, the model Marine, if you will. But he would find himself wanting to get out after 4 years. He wasn't fond of the structure and leadership he was under, and that ended up being pivotal in his decision to get out. While he is finishing his last bit in the Marine Corps, he's experiencing some turmoil in his relationship. His girlfriend, at this time, learned about his pornography addiction. And despite their attempt to make it work, it didn't. It was over.
And 2019 started off with a breakup. And that sent me spiraling down. This wasn't the first time I had suicidal ideations, but I was definitely having suicidal thoughts at that time. Just because I was just like, she's like the one thing I care about. And I don't even care about myself compared to her. And I lost her because of pornography and all this stuff. There was a man, from the church that I went to who, my parents kind of got me in contact with, and he came alongside me. He got me on Covenant Eyes, which is the protection against pornography on the internet. And he had struggled with it too. And it was really good to have him there, but I still wasn't ready to give my life to Christ. And that's what he was urging me to do. And I was like, nah, I'm not about this. And he was like, you know, I went to church a couple of times in California. Definitely, it was reminiscent of Omaha Bible Church for sure. Like, it was a gospel preaching church. But I was just like, yeah, no, this is not happening. Like, I'm just not about this, you know? And kind of the thing that kept me going was I get out in July of 2019. I get out and everything will be better. Everything will be fine. I'll be okay. Like, my life's going to change, all this. And when that day came, it was July 2nd of 2019. That was my Independence Day. That was, I felt like a burden had been lifted. You know, there was just, I was like, I felt 100 pounds lighter and the sun was shining brighter. And I was just like, I'm finally free. Like, this is the day I've been waiting for. And it's just as good as I was hoping it would be. So that, I really thought that, like, you know, I'll never be depressed again. How could I ever be depressed again? You know, how could I ever have, you know, mental health struggles and suicidal ideations ever again? Because I had actually sought out a therapist while I was in because of what I was going through after that breakup. But yeah, once I got out, I was like, man, I don't need a therapist. I'll be fine, man. Everything's gonna be great. And I decided to not move back home to Nebraska, which I know my mom was sad about, but I was like, nope, I love California and I'm going to stay out here in California and go to school. At the time I was like, well, I wanted to be a personal trainer. I loved fitness. I loved teaching people. That was kind of it was a strength of mine. It was something that I did for other Marines while I was in. And I was like, I can get paid for this. There's a lot of fit people in California. There's a lot of gyms. There's the whole culture of gym life in California. I'm like, this will be the spot. I'll start my own business. And that was my plan. So I was going to school. And things still weren't perfect. I was still making bad choices with women. And I remember, I think it was in December of 2019, where it was the weirdest thing ever. I had never experienced this before, but I was literally just playing video games. And all of a sudden I just felt like this impending sense of doom. Like I was going to die. Didn't know why. I was just sitting in my apartment playing video games, but I felt like I'm going to die. This is like, I was like, I need to get out of here right now. I don't know what to do, but I need to get out of here. So I literally just went to the gym and like ran on the treadmill and I was like, okay, like, I don't know what that was, and it wasn't like I wanted to commit suicide or anything, but it was literally just like, I feel like I'm going to die. And I don't know what that was. And actually, prior to that, in October, I had a panic attack at work, which was the weirdest thing ever, because I was like, you know, I was just working, stocking the shelves at GNC, and all of a sudden, my heart starts pounding, and my vision gets blurry, and I'm like, is this what a heart attack? Like, there's no way I can have a heart attack. And then I was like, well, maybe, like, you know, I realized later, like, that was a panic attack, and, you know, just, I didn't really know what it was, and it was weird, you know? So I actually sought out help from the VA. And they got me with a therapist, and I was going to start, I started therapy in January of 2020. 2020 was the year that, obviously it changed life for a lot of people, but I feel like that was the year that everything changed for me. Like the trajectory of my spiritual life changed. Because up to that point, I was an atheist. You know, I was angry at God for a while. And then after a while, it just turned into mockery and, belittling and just outright, just not even thinking it was real. And just being like, this is stupid, like being exposed to the evil of the world. And for whatever reason, like being aware of sex trafficking and that whole world being real and knowing it was real and knowing it was happening not very far away, you know, that really caused me more to question the goodness of God. I was like, if this is happening, there's no way that an omniscient, omnipotent God could have, one, allowed this to happen, and two, is just like okay with this and not doing anything to stop it. Yeah. You know? And I just like, if God is real, he is a sadistic, bad word, person, being, whatever. And I just like, I didn't want to believe that he was real, because if he was real, then he was an evil God. And I'm just like, there's no, like, I'm not going to believe in that. Not going to believe in him. It's much more comforting to, you know, think that we came from monkeys and everything just exploded 13.4 billion years ago. and we're here by chance, and wow, what a wonderful thing that is, you know? And just being like, humans are messed up things and they suck and everything, you know, just kind of a negative worldview.
Right.
But you know, just, I still had morals. I still had a sense of right and wrong, and like, not for myself, but for the world, you know, I was able to judge the world and be like, well, that's bad and that's bad. And, that, I feel like that's really what drew me more to atheism and just being like, if God is real and he lets this happen, I don't want to believe there's a God.
You can see the progression of Andrew's story unfold right before your ears. He is clearly exploring the world around him in ways that are leading to emptiness and wandering.
The thing that really changed everything was my first psychedelic experience. And that was in, January of 2020. I went to San Francisco to meet up with a friend of mine who I had met at an electronic dance music festival back in October. And I had known, he was from Omaha and I knew him. But he invited me out to San Francisco to meet some of his other friends. Went out there, and after I got out of the Marines, I was like, I can do whatever I want with drugs. So I started smoking weed every day. That was a given, you know, in California it's legal. So I was like, whatever, I'll do it. Cocaine, MDMA. I was just kind of experimenting with everything, and there was no one to tell me no. So I just, you know, I had my quote unquote fun with it. But the thing that really changed was my first LSD trip, because I took it, we went to the rave, and it started, changing how everything looked, and the music just got so much more like loud and crisp and clear. And, I started just, going wild and just having a blast dancing. And we went back to the friend's house that we were staying at. And I remember I was sitting on the couch and fully into the LSD experience, the trip. And there was like this dark shadow that just came over me. And like my vision was closed by like darkness was closing in. And this anxious thought of something wildly foolish I had done not too long ago, started coming up, and I felt anxiety welling up, and I was like, okay, I know this feeling. I had become familiar with the symptoms of anxiety, and I always dreaded it because I never knew how to deal with it. It would just kind of have its way with me, and I would just be lucky if I didn't go into a depressive episode after not being able to figure out where this anxiety came from and what it's doing to me. So I really hated anxiety. So when I felt it coming up, I just had this moment of clarity where I was like, no, I'm with my friends. I'm having a good time. This is one of the most like fun experiences I've ever had. I don't need to be thinking about that right now. It's in the past. It's done away with. And I'm right here, right now in the present, and everything is good. I'm fine. And it just went away. And that was the moment where I was like, okay, there's something to LSD. This is the first time I've ever had any semblance of control over anxiety. And just freedom from my own thoughts. And I was like, okay, I'm going to look into this. I told my therapist about that experience, and she was kind of an elderly, probably in her late 60s, Indian woman, and who, I'm sure never had done drugs in her life, and was just like, I don't know about that. And I was like, well, just so you know, I'm going to be doing psychedelics regularly from now on, and I'll just come back and tell you what I've learned and how it's going, because there's something to this and I'm going to keep looking into it. And I did tell her, you know, I kind of did some, you know, half-hearted internet research into different programs that like John Hopkins was doing with mushrooms and different studies done with LSD to, that cured alcoholism, and basically using psychedelics for mental health treatment. And, you know, I told her about this and I was like, this is what I'm going to do, you know? And obviously she couldn't really stop me. So she's like, okay, there is something to this and I'm going to figure this out and I'm going to explore my own mind. So for a period of probably like 4 or 5 months, I was doing psychedelics like every week, basically. Just kind of switching between LSD and mushrooms. And the interesting thing, looking back, because obviously I had no experience with psychedelics and no experience with New Age spirituality or the spiritual world in general, but it seems like, for whatever reason, psychedelics always lead to this, they lead people who repeatedly use it to New Age spirituality, to Buddhism, to Hinduism, to these different, you know, pagan, or I'll just say New Age, because that's kind of the umbrella term, New Age spiritual beliefs. And I started having all of these, what I felt were, you know, major revelations about myself, like believing that I had lived past lives and believing in reincarnation, believing that, you know, I had like in astrology, that I had like a wolf spirit and like all of the, like a Viking spirit and like all these different spirits. Because that's another thing that I never realized at that point in my psychedelic journey, but I basically would get possessed, either on mushrooms or LSD, but I would get possessed by something. And at the time I was like, okay, I'm getting, you know, the music is just coming over me and just fills me, and like I can dance and move with every single, you know, synchronized beat of the music, and is like my new superpower, you know. And or it was just like, oh, this is LSD just taking control. I'm giving myself over to LSD. I'm surrendering to the drug. Looking back now, I'm like, that was demonic activity. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about what was happening there. I fully believe that I was being possessed, and that now I know that psychedelics are a gateway to the spiritual realm. But I didn't know that at the time. I was just like, I just was becoming more aware of spirits and spirituality and like looking into different beliefs and systems and just being curious about spiritual things, including Christianity. There was one time I read the Bible tripping, just because I was like, maybe it'll seem more real, you know, because before that, if I read the Bible, it was like this dead document. I was just like, this is like this 2,000-year-old thing that like some dudes wrote, and it reads weird because it's too old and it's like irrelevant.
Right.
Cast it out, you know. But I remember reading it and just feeling like it was speaking to me, and I was like, whoa, this is trippy. But I didn't think really anything more of it. I was like, that's interesting. But I don't want to, you know, I still didn't want to have anything to deal with that, because I knew, you know, you can't do drugs as a Christian. Like, that's not a part of the Christian life. And I was like, well, definitely don't want to say goodbye to this, because this is my new thing. But I was definitely becoming more aware of the spiritual world. And I had a LSD trip in July of 2020. Where I remember writing it down, but I was like, I activated God mode. Like, I felt, I was so high that I felt like I was a God. And I wrote down that, I was like, so, like, this is the type of mindset that, like, pharaohs and these different, you know, pagan emperors and people would have had, truly believing that they are a God on earth. And I was like, this is the best feeling ever. I was like, there's nothing that beats this, you know?
If you're like me, you have a lot of questions. I suppose if you've experimented with psychedelics and drugs, some of this sounds a little bit more familiar to you. But for me, whoa. I did ask Andrew, I know you thought these kinds of things were true when you were high, but what about when you were sober? Did these godlike personas play out in your sober life?
It did carry into my sober life, to where I became more confident. You know, I was like, I remember I watched this Viking show and I was just like, I can be that guy. I can be this, you know, this Viking hero who's strong and courageous and manly and like confident and all these things that I had always wanted to be. And it was just like, now I had this kind of avenue opened up in my mind to where I was like, I don't have to be the guy that I thought I was. I can be that guy. I can be my true self. I can be this, you know, confident, badass that I've always wanted to be. Like, that's me. And I, like, there's nothing stopping me from being that. So yeah, it definitely did carry into my non-trip life. And, I felt really good about myself. I felt really good about life. I felt really good about where my life was going. I had no depressive episodes, for a long time. And while I did still experience anxiety, I would just smoke weed about it and forget about it. And then by the time I had my therapy session, she was like, so, like, have you had anything difficult you've been through, or like any anxiety or anything? And I would just be like, well, I can't remember if I did. So no, I didn't. Like, literally by July, I was like, you know, this has been great, but, and like, thank you. 'Cause she really did help me. She definitely gave me good advice. Like, granted, it was secular advice, but there was multiple things that she did help me work through. And I was really grateful to her for kind of helping me get outside of myself. And so that's why, looking back at that time period, I was like, I was also I had switched my major to psychology, because I was just like, I want to be a therapist, because this woman is changing my life and I want to do the same for other veterans. So, you know, for a while I was like, psychedelics, therapy, and the psychology class I was taking, those all just like completely changed my perspective on who I was and like things about my past and things about who, like how my brain was working and all these things. And I felt like I'd kind of unlocked the secrets of the universe. And I was like, I got it all figured out. I'm good. Like, you know, we're only going up from here. Yeah, God quickly humbled me after that.
If you remember, up until this point, Andrew had been living in California. Community college in California in 2020 meant all online classes. He was ready to move somewhere that was a little less strict on COVID protocol, so he could experience a real college experience. He was ready to take his newfound confidence to Texas State University and be the big man on campus. Much to his surprise, classes at Texas State University were also online. Womp womp. Not only that, but he also quickly learned that Texas is hot and humid. So instead of being outside all the time, like he was in California, he spent most of his time inside, and like he said, just trying to survive. Unfortunately, this quickly led to regret about moving and a deep, dark depression.
That led to October 4th of 2020, which was the day that I came the closest to killing myself. It was a night that there was just no hope. And there was no reason to keep on living. Even my dog, I was ready. I was like, man, if I kill myself, Fenn's not going to have anybody. I'm going to have to kill Fenn. That's my dog's name. and then I'll have to kill myself. Like, that's where I was at. I was staring at my Glock, just, you know, searching for a reason not to put it to my head. And my mom called me, and, you know, she's just like, you know, I felt like something was wrong, something was off, and I just need to call you. And that was an important night for me, because that was the night, not only did I was like, my mom saved my life, and there's no way to explain that other than God. I was like, God is love. And I knew that from the Bible, and I was like, now I know this to be true, because love transcends this physical reality, and somehow, some way, she knew, and she saved my life. And I was like, through that, God saved my life. It's like, okay, so maybe God is love. I can believe in that, you know? And so that was my idea of God. Fast forward to December of 2020, I went home and just had a really good time with my family for the holidays. And I was like, okay, I think it's time to move back home. You know, like I was tired of being by myself. And I did make some friends out in Texas. And I will forever be thankful to them, because two of the guys, they were also Marines that literally served down the street from me. I just never knew them because they were cannons instead of rocket artillery. But they became kind of my foundation to hold on to. And, you know, when I told one of them about how close I came to suicide, he's like, all right, well, I'm going to take all your guns and we're going to hang out a lot. It was really good to have them. That was a gift from God. But I still felt like I needed to move back home just to be with family, because it was grounding, you know? So I moved back in, I guess it was the end of March of 2020. So, and actually the interesting thing too was that throughout those depressed months, I wasn't using any psychedelics. I had used mushrooms once, and that was a spiritual experience where I heard different voices, and I saw like a feminine deity, and it was really interesting, because it got me more into the pagan kind of ideology, and just being like, okay, like these visions and these experiences, these are real. But obviously it wasn't enough to save me from almost killing myself. But it was still an experience that I held on to, of just being like, okay, like psychedelics are real. And, but that was, I had that one experience and then wasn't using them for a while, because when you're depressed and you're anxious, you don't like, it's generally ill-advised to take psychedelics if you're in that mind state, because that's kind of a guarantee of a bad trip. So you want to be in a good mind state when you take them. And I was just like, I was kind of too scared to take them, because I was like scared of a bad trip. So I started using LSD again at the beginning of 2021 with those friends that I had mentioned. And once again, it was like a revelatory experience. It was ecstatic and euphoric, and it brought me back to the kind of feeling that I had when I was in California. And I was like, man, this is what I was missing. You know, I was like, this is what I needed. This is the way, the truth, and the life. And basically at the point in March where I got to the point where I was like, I almost didn't want to leave Texas, because I was back to normal. But I had kind of made that decision already and had everything ready. So I ended up moving back home. But that didn't stop me from continuing my psychedelic adventures. In June of 2021, I had another kind of big revelation trip that two things happened. One, I became aware of the, and I didn't say it at the time, but I knew that it was a demonic possession because I wrote it down and I was like, it felt darkly divine. And I know that the friend that I was with, he saw me get possessed and was like, it scared him. And, you know, I was like, hey, like, sorry, did I scare you? He's like, no, you're fine. But like, I knew he wasn't fine. But I didn't care. I was like, I feel good. I feel like I have this under control and like it gives me this power that is, you know, God tier level power. And that's what I wanted. That was the ultimate high I could achieve. And in that same experience, it led to, we went outside and we were out in the middle of the desert and seeing all of the stars and just like the Milky Way and just the vast expanse, that led me to this undeniable knowledge that there is a God. And it basically led me into pantheism, that God is the universe, that the universe and all the stars, like this is the mind of God. And I was, you know, it was another one of those trips where I was like, I have everything figured out. That was a very kind of monumental trip for me. That really ushered in even more New Age spirituality and more kind of just curiosity about the spiritual world and about these different belief systems. I started looking into Egyptian paganism because I had an experience where I basically became Anubis, and I was like, okay, this is amazing. And then later that year, I got more into Norse paganism because I had this experience as Thor, you know, I'm calling down lightning from thunder and from the heavens. And I was just like, this is the most amazing thing ever. Like this is what they were picking up and getting into. Like, this is how humans can become attuned to the spiritual world and to gods. And, it felt like true knowledge, and it felt like finally I found the truth. You know, finally I have something that I can consistently go back to and have these, you know, mystical experiences that are as real as our reality. There's, you know, you can't tell the difference. You are a god. That's how real it felt. It all ends up being self-focused. Like, no matter which way you go, you know, you end up usually going into this avenue of like, oh, I'm a god, I'm a divine being, and, you know, like, really just leads to kind of a self-centered worldview and self-worship, which is exactly what Satan wants. In November of 2021, I went to a festival in Florida where I met my now girlfriend, and she's changed my life for sure. But at the time, one of the big things was that she was into New Age spirituality and she believed that God was the universe. And that was one of the major things that won me over. 'Cause I was like, finally I can like have a woman who understands me on a spiritual level. And I was like, you know, I knew my parents, that Christianity was the glue that held them together. And I was like, New Age spirituality is going to be the thing that holds us together. So, you know, I fell in love at first sight and I was like, all right, this is going to be the woman I marry. Like, this is, it's a done deal. So we started dating. And that leads us into 2022. Still, you know, still into the EDM scene, still doing psychedelics regularly, still smoking weed every day. Still delving into paganism and just kind of like, the whole thing was that there was never a foundation. My foundation was literally psychedelics. Like all the experiences that I had, all my mystical visions and everything, that was my foundation of my faith. But other than that, it was like everything was kind of amorphous and like, oh, I could believe in this or I could believe in that. Oh, what about this thing? Maybe I can believe in that too. And then I'll look into this. And, you know, like I was looking into Gnosticism and I was like, oh, this seems right. And then I was looking into, like I said, Buddhism and Hinduism. I'm like, oh, this seems right. I can believe in whatever I want because all of them lead to the same, like, universal God, like the, you know, the creator, the source, the supreme being. Like all these different religions have, they all lead to the same thing, you know? And I was convinced that Christianity was no different. I was like, you know, you got to do good works to get into heaven. Like if you got to be a good person, just like every other religion, you got to do these things and, you know, walk the walk and do the good things. And, you know, just like in Egyptian paganism, you know, your heart gets weighed on a scale with a feather. And if your heart is lighter than the feather, then you get into heaven. If it's heavier, then you get devoured by this crocodile deity. And so I had convinced myself that one, I was saved by psychedelics. I was enlightened. And two, that my good deeds would outweigh all my bad deeds. And three, I was just like, I know where I'm at. I know where I stand. I'm good. You know, I had a conversation with my sister, and I didn't go into all the detail I could have, but I basically told her I was a pantheist. And like that was, you know, good enough for me, you know, and I could tell that she was still just like, oh, Andrew. And I was like, oh, Aaron, if only you knew, like, if only you had done LSD and seen what I had seen, like you'd be convinced of what I'm convinced of. So, leading into 2022, I had another experience that I look back and I'm just like, I should have just stopped with psychedelics here. Like this, it was the pinnacle experience. You know, everything was amazing. I was flowing like I was, you know, dancing and having an amazing time. And it, one of the things, this is important for the rest of the story, but one of the beliefs that I held was that when I was dancing under the influence, it was a way for me to navigate through the worlds, like navigate from this physical world into the spiritual world and to basically protect myself from demons. Because I was aware of their presence at this point. I was aware of spirits and demonic beings in this psychedelic space. But dancing with the music was my way to kind of keep some semblance of my identity with myself and to not lose myself into the drug experience. And to basically come out of this kind of realm navigation, on top, a way to come out and be like, okay, like I'm still me. I got through that. And now it's like, now I can experience the full, kind of visionary, euphoric experience of LSD. And in June, I literally had this vision where my soul left my body. Like it went up into the sky. With my eyes closed, I saw this heavenly throne room with five beings in light, just covered, like glowing in light. And like I had passed the test. I had defeated my demons and I was accepted into heaven. and that I was one with the family of light. Like this was like everything I had ever wanted. And following that vision, it was like, there's no other way to explain it other than it felt like I was passing through a female body and being literally born again. Like the experience of being born and coming back into the world and just being like with new eyes and just like everything's new. And I just remember being like, this is what the Christians were talking about. I've been born again. I was accepted into heaven as the Son of God. Like I was literally on the level of like, I'm Jesus Christ. And I've been born again. Like it was just the premier LSD experience. So that's where I should have stopped. Because after that, the next LSD experience I had was when things got weird, even more demonic and out of hand. The next one was, you know, I'm going into the, you know, navigation of the spiritual realm. It's all familiar because I've been on so many trips at this point. Like I knew how to navigate through a trip and I knew the things that I had to do and like the, you know, dancing and all this stuff that would kind of preserve my sanity. But as I was dancing, I got this very distinct feeling of this dark presence around me that I was kind of fending off. And there was a guy in the crowd dancing next to me. And I remember like whatever I was doing with my movements, it passed this dark entity into him and it possessed him. Next thing I know, he's not dancing anymore. He's standing with a blank face, looking at the screen with no clothes on. And I was just like, what is going on here? Because I knew what I was experiencing and I knew what I was dealing with. I knew I was dealing with a demonic entity and I knew it wasn't going to get me because I knew how to fend it off. But I felt guilty because I felt like I had used some sort of magical like movement or something to possess this guy. And that was the one experience that really had me like starting to be like, well, maybe this LSD thing isn't so great after all. Maybe it's like, you know, not all fun and games, you know, cause this dude, he was not having a good time. Like there was nothing behind his eyes. And I felt bad for him because he shamed himself in the middle of a crowd just standing there. And like, I felt like that was my fault because, you know, but I kind of tried to shrug it off and I was like, okay, well, no, it was his fault. He couldn't handle his acid. I can handle my acid. So like I'm fine. Which once again, I got humbled. Because the next trip that I went on was, this was the one that really like had me, it cracked the foundation that I was standing on. This was in October of 2020. It was a Halloween themed rave. So you can imagine that the, you know, decorations and all of that stuff is very horror oriented and scary and skeletons and demons and fire and witches and, you know, everything you can imagine. But I was confident in my abilities and I was like, I can drop 4 tabs of acid and be totally fine. So I did, and I was not totally fine. There was a momentary lapse of control as I was kind of getting into that the peak of the trip, where I got separated from my friends in the middle of a crowd. And as soon as I realized, because I lost control of myself in the sense that we're navigating through the crowd together, and then I was just like, why are we doing this? The show's over there. I'm going to turn around and let go of my friend's hands because the music's over there. And I just completely forgot why we're doing what we were doing. And then I kind of snapped to it, and I was like, where are my friends? I am alone. This is not good. Panic. Yes. And once again, you know, I was very familiar with the feelings of anxiety creeping up and all that stuff. And I was like, okay, like, I'm just going to breathe through this. You know, it ain't nothing but a thing. I've been separated from my friends in a festival before, and I have been fine. I'll just get through it. We'll be all right. Everything was not all right because I just got this sense that my brain and my mind just became empty. There was nothing there. I was no one. I would say that's kind of an ego death, which is something that psychedelic users often describe, just complete loss of the sense of self. Your ego is gone. You're not Andrew anymore. You're just a body. And I'm just standing there. I'm just like, okay, well, if I don't move, no one will know that I'm kind of freaking out right now, and I'll just stay here. And everything just kept getting more and more chaotic and crazy, and you know, everyone is surrounding me in Halloween costumes. And when you're on psychedelics, especially on a high dose, there is no difference between what's real and what isn't. Like, it's just, everything is as real as you think it is. So, you know, people dressed up as demons are demons. People dressed up as witches are witches. And it looked like everyone was losing their minds, and like it was like everyone's going insane, and I'm the only one who's not going insane. I'm just standing there. There were pyrotechnics off to the side, and I thought that it was this burning carriage barreling through the crowd, and like people are screaming and dying, and I'm just like, this is not what I asked for. This is too much. But I had no choice. I knew that there's no way to stop an acid trip once you're in it, so I was just like, I just gotta take this. Obviously, I told you that I had experienced seeing different deities behind closed eyes, and just like seeing figures and beings, and you know, experiencing the spiritual world. This was different because this was the only way I can describe it is if you can imagine with your eyes closed, you can imagine a frightening thing. Like, you can imagine a demon. You can imagine a witch or a zombie or whatever. This was not my imagination. This was something else that came into my mind, invaded my mind, and I could do nothing to stop it. Like, there was just this disgustingly, like, over, like, like, I call it the demon witch, but it was just this disgusting thing that was in my head, and I couldn't get it out, and it was laughing at me, and it was belittling me, and it was just having its way, and there was nothing I could do. And I was raped by that demon. That's the only way I can describe it. Like, the feeling of being abused and humiliated was overwhelming. The next day, I'm still kind of just reeling from this experience. Like, it was just crazy. And I felt so exposed that night, too. It was just like, I felt like a victim. And, you know, like I said, the next day, it still hurt. And I was like, what is going on here? Like, this is unlike anything I've ever experienced. This is not okay. Like, I knew it was demonic. I just didn't know or ever think that it would happen to me, you know? And I'd heard and read stories on Reddit about people's bad trips and all these things. But now it happened to me. And it really shook my faith in LSD. Like, because up to that point, I was like, how could you ever have a bad trip? Like, you just, if you ever feel anxious, you just breathe and get into your zone and, like, get all zen and you're good, you know? But that didn't work. I was attacked and I was raped and there was nothing I could do to stop it. And so, yeah, that's all I can say is that if you think that it's not real and it's just, oh, it's in your mind, it's, you know, it's just acid. I'm like, try that experience from my point of view. Like, you would feel differently. I know you would. And I knew it was demonic. And like I said, it shook my faith in LSD. I was like, okay, this led me to something very, very bad. I felt like, you know, how I had built myself up to being a god. After this experience, I was like, I'm just a weak little child who's been molested by a demon. I have no power. Like, I have nothing. I am nothing. It took me, honestly, like, if I didn't have any experience with psychedelics, that experience would have destroyed me. Like, I would have been in a mental institute for sure because of how, like, devastating it was to just who I was as a person and, like, what I believed and everything. But I knew that, like, I knew everything that I had been through, and I was like, okay, like, I will be able to recover from this, and, you know, this isn't going to define me. And I was like, I'm going to get my power back. Like, I'm going to someday, like, I'm going to trip on acid again and I am going to have a good time and I'm going to get my power back. I'm going to become a god again. Like, I'll be good. You know, I'm going to slay that demon. Like, I've slayed other demons before on my trips and I'll be standing on top. So I didn't trip for a while on acid. I still did some mushrooms here and there. I never really had a bad trip on mushrooms. I did have a couple trips that weren't like as, you know, kind of visionary as I would have hoped for. So it wasn't like a quote unquote good trip, but like mushrooms just, they weren't as kind of, I would say, chaotic and energy fueled as LSD was. So I really did prefer LSD. Like, that was everything, you know. But I didn't really touch it until June of this year, 2023. Went to another festival, had the intention of getting my power back, becoming a god again. And everything was going fine. Everything was going great. Like, the acid trip was everything that I was expecting and, like, wanted and everything. And I was basically just, I was on a mission. And I was uber focused on not stopping this ecstatic dance that I was in. Like, the trip, I was like, nothing's going to stop me. One of my friends was like, dude, like, you're still human. You need to drink water. And I remember just completely ignoring him. I heard him, but I was like, no, I'm a god. I don't need water. Get away from me, puny being. This was reality shattering. So one of my favorite artists came on. They started, there was a moment when there was this loud pop. And then time reversed. Like, you can rewind a movie, reality rewinded. And then it started back and played back to the point where that pop happened. And it happened quickly, but I noticed it and I was like, what just happened? Like, this is unlike anything I've ever experienced before. I'm like, this is crazy. like, is my brain broken? What's going on? For some reason, I had the sense that in that moment, they had cast some sort of spell over the crowd to shield them from what was really going on. But I was the one who could see past that and understand what was about to happen. So I felt like I was on a different level than everyone else. I had special insight. Then I remember reality really started breaking down to the point where my field of vision became like four squares, like a window pane, and those squares just rotated and switched. So, you know, what's in your upper left corner of your vision is now spinning down to the right corner of your vision. And it's just like, my brain is broken. Like I was convinced. I was like, way to go, Andrew. You just did enough acid to break your brain. Like, now you did it. Way to go. And I had kind of always, you know, you hear stories of people going crazy on psychedelics and like losing their minds on LSD. And I was like, it'll never happen to me. But this was the time I was like, I've done too much acid and I broke my brain. I do remember thinking about my girlfriend and, my dog and, her cat, and just being like, that's all I want right now. I just want to be with them and I don't want to be here, but they are 1,000 miles away and I put myself here. I made the choice to come out to this festival. I paid the money. I did the drugs. There's no one to blame but me. And I can't just run out of this crowd to go and try and leave and go back to Nebraska, because then my friends are going to freak out and try to chase after me. And it's just going to, everything's going to fall apart. I couldn't, you know, I tried to like text her, but like I was so high that I can't function with a phone, you know? And I was just like, okay, here we are again. I'm just going to have to go through this. Like, there's no escape. I'm stuck here. And then the reason this happened was because I was dehydrated, but I didn't know. So, like, I really, looking back, I'm like, I know it was because, like, I was experiencing heat exhaustion because I was dancing so much and hadn't replaced any fluids, and I was just sweating profusely because it's summer night in Michigan, like it's hot and like I'm dancing and everything, and my body's starting to fail. Like I couldn't dance anymore. That's a problem when my dancing was my only defense against demons. So when I couldn't dance, I was like, okay, now I'm really in for it again. Like everything I remembered in October, I was like, oh no. Ooh. But I was, at the same time, I'm like, I'm with my friends, I'll be okay. But I look over to my friends and I can't recognize them. They look like these demons that I don't like. They're mocking me. They're laughing at me. None of this is actually happening, but just for me, it was happening. But like mocking me and just being like, oh wow, he's so weak. He can't do anything. He's like, he's powerless. Like, laughing at me. And I was like, I can't even talk to my friends. I can't, I'm helpless. I'm hopeless. I'm all here alone. And this is when like reality shifted again. And if you can just imagine this plane of existence that we're used to living and breathing in, everything just dropped and everything just got heavier and darker, more sinister, hotter, and devoid of any goodness, any love, any sense of God. Like, I just remember feeling like this is hell. God is not here. And there's only one Lord of Darkness, and he's the one ruling over this, you know, this realm. And I was like, okay, this is not good. The stage turned into this gigantic stone altar, and the DJs became these disfigured like priests of hell, and in the middle of the crowd it looked like there was this giant fire that had just started, and people are like running around it and just going crazy and losing their minds. And I was like, this is some, it, the feeling was I was in the middle of a Norse pagan ritual and there were human sacrifices going on. And I was like, how did I get here? What am I like? I didn't ask for this. And then I was reminded, I'm like, no, you did ask for this. You wanted this. You wanted to become this wolf god thing that you had experienced back in July of 2020. And you're too weak. You can't hang with the demons. And now you're going to suffer. And now, you know, it was weird because it was like, not only was I was like, I was convinced that there was human sacrifices going on, but I was like, how is this allowed to happen? Like, we're in Michigan. Like, what? So there's this separation of reality, you know, and there's no like foundation of like, no, this isn't real. It was just, this is your reality now. And yeah, this is your reality for eternity. I remember being molested by demons again. I remember, basically like taking, it took all of my willpower, any semblance of Andrew Pilley, to not lose my mind and just like go crazy. Like it was like this overwhelming force that was telling me and like wanting me to do that. And it took every fiber of what was left of Andrew to be like, no, just stand here. Like you can't do that, you know? And, so in the midst of hell, I was completely helpless. I was hopeless. I was just like, and I knew I deserved it. That was one of the worst things, was just like, it's like, I put myself here and I asked for this and now I have to suffer. And there was a voice that wasn't mine that came into my mind. It's like, I didn't hear it audibly, but I heard it inside of my mind, and it said, you need to be saved. And I said, yes, you're right. I do. But I, you know, no one can save me. I'm stuck here. And then it said, you need Jesus Christ. And I was like, yeah. I still didn't want to admit it at the time, but I knew that was the truth. And I was like, and I knew that voice was God. And I said, God, if you get me out of this, I'm never doing acid again. Cause I was convinced that I was going to die that night. Like, I was just like, and die eternally. Like, that's where I was at. And you know, eventually that everything passed, the peak wore off, and I kind of came back to reality. The show ended. I was able to drink some water, and I was just like, it was a lot. It was like a lot to deal. I was just thankful to be alive, because I was, you know, I was in that space for so long where I just thought this was it, you know. And yeah, so coming out of that, we went back to campsite, and I remember talking to one of my friends, and he was like, yeah, I really wanted to, you know, stop you and tell you to drink water, but I was scared of you because of the way that I acted when I danced and everything, and just physically I'm bigger than him. And it hit me. I was like, my dancing is demonic possession, and my friends that I love and care about are too scared of me when I'm possessed to tell me to drink water. This is a problem. Like, and I knew that, one, I was still thinking like, well, maybe if I try acid one more time, we'll get, but I was like, no, if you do this again, someone's going to get hurt. And like, either you're going to like end up in a hospital because of dehydration, or you getting tackled by security and tased because you're losing your mind, or you're going to hurt one of your friends. Something really bad's going to happen if you do this again. And I just knew that. I was like, okay, yeah, I got to call it quits. Like, something's got to change, and I can't do this anymore. knowing the things that I had done, the things that I had believed in, and remembering everything I knew about Christianity and about the Word and about Jesus, and it was all starting to become really, really real. And also just the experience I had a week ago where I was like in hell and realizing that Jesus is the only way to be saved from that. And yeah, the next day I was driving in my truck and I had a moment where I was like, okay, I surrender. I'm done fighting you, Jesus. I've been fighting you for 9 years more, and I give up. I don't give up easily, like in anything I do, you know, like I've always been a passionate, hard charging person, but this was the one thing in my life where I was like, this is where I need to surrender. This is where I need to give up and let Jesus take my life. And I remember feeling this warm presence around me, completely different from anything that all the other presences I had felt on my body. This was a hug, you know, and the voice that I heard was just, it was a very gentle and welcoming voice just saying, you know how long I've waited for you to say that? And I was like, it's been a long time, Jesus, but here I am. And I just remember crying, breaking down in tears, and just, but tears of joy. I was just like, finally, I'm free. This is what true freedom is, because you cannot serve two masters. It's one way, or the way, the truth, and the life. And it became so real, and it, like, realer than anything I had ever experienced before. And I thought of my mom and my dad and my siblings, and I'm just like, I can't wait to tell them. And I remember coming back from that drive and opening up the book of John. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And just that came alive. Like, it spoke to me in a way that had never spoken to me before. And I was like, this is what my parents were talking about when, you know, my mom had once mentioned how God has spoken to her, and at the time I was like, yeah, right, whatever, but mom, you're kind of crazy. And now I was like, no, like, this is real, and this is how God speaks to us. Like, not only did he speak to me in my mind, but also through the Word. Like, it just, everything was, I was like, okay, yeah, you know, the spiritual world, it's all real. Jesus is real. His is the name above all names, and like, his, like, he's the only way to be saved. So yeah, later that day I went over to my parents' house and told them everything. But I didn't have any shame. I was like, I can, now that I'm saved, I'm like, I can tell them everything. I can, what a weight to be lifted off, that I can be like, okay, like, this is where I was and this is who I am now. Jesus does not stop in his pursuit of us. But it just hit me so hard. I was like, man, like, he just never stopped. And I did everything I could to keep him out. And ultimately he was just like, no, you're mine.
Thank you for finding yourself here, for staying a while. But I have to ask, what defines you? Do you have a story you want to tell? You can send me a direct message on Facebook or Instagram at @YouDefinePodcast. And be sure to follow You Define Podcast wherever you listen so that you don't miss our new episode every month.